Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatec.
No, you're working at Inatec because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house. And if I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Well, welcome back to Stockton Jacks. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. Brendan Cornance. He's Jay-Z on the board. SP futures up 50 cents. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures down 6. Only down 6. That's even after the Google Alphabet had the clunk last night. So we still stand, can't seem to knock this market down. It's a very strange world we are in here. I'm not sure exactly what the end game of this is. But of course, I say that every morning, Brendan, and every day there's a bid. There's not no we have doesn't seem any shred of evidence that we're going to head down. We've got the Fed in everybody's way, and this is a, we're partying like it's, whatever. What year was that? 1999?
We're going to party like it's 1999.
Yeah, it's, or 2007, I guess. crazy world. What, I have, as of this morning, we've got, Google is now down, $96, so 7.5%. And still, we've got the NASDAQ only down 650. So that's pretty amazing when you think about it. So that's where they are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter seeming to what happened. You would think last night it was down like 30 some, and it popped right back up. So saying that's where that is. What did you? We had an interesting interview yesterday with Matt Taibbi, and I talked to some people later. I won't say my conservative gentleman friends from the Fed, but it is absolutely striking of how people's. And I thought Matt, well, I know Matt is very much searching for the truth. He always has been. That's why he's a terrific writer, a terrific guest. And I thought his article clearly needed to be set, where he pretty much took it to the media and thought that they were somewhat overreaching over everything, maybe hoping. And yet, if you talk to people that are more liberal, in their mind, there's more than enough in there to basically, convict Al Capone, for God's sake, and with the amount of lies back and forth and the stuff that was in there, the attempts to really obstruct justice, the attempts to, where two or three times people that worked for the president seemed to have saved him from some really stupid thing he was trying to do. And then last night I talked to somebody and I said, for me, this is all a new world, and I want to run this by it. this is different. It reminds me of a little bit, Brendan. I know I'm always searching for the right stuff, and if people want to tweet in or call in, please feel free. But this reminds me almost of Harold Janine in reverse. For those of you who don't know who Harold Janine is, he was probably the first what do you want to call him, international executive guy. That thought companies were, like pawns to be getting around. Mm-hmm. He was the head of ITT. And if you want to read an incredible book, about him, it was from the 70s or the 60s, that book was, and, called The Sovereign State of ITT. And this guy, Harold Janine, was like the first, megalomaniac, egomaniac, international, corporate guy that just thought, that the bumpkins that were in governments were just goofballs in the way, rocks in the road, and pretty much treated them as such, and they acted as such. And I don't know, I'm not exactly sure how AT&T all blew up, but it eventually did. Mm-hmm. These guys were the first, weren't they the first telegraph lines across the Atlantic and the whole bit?
I think they were.
And, yeah, but if you read the book, and you know, you don't read about cell phones, or no cell phones, no computers or anything in there. But if you just read it, it's like reading a book about, railroad takeovers in like the 1890s. It's like reading a book today. The same people, the same emotions, the same human frailties, the same human greed. And the, I don't know what, because I mentioned one thing to Matt yesterday, and I don't know if he, I think he knew where I was coming from, but I mentioned a part about the oil pipeline stuff, where the person who essentially bought the Canadian company, steel company, that is supplying the pipelines, even though Trump bleated like a goose the whole campaign that it was only going to be American pipe. Turns out none of it's American pipe. It's all from this Canadian company, which they had already bought in advance, and I understand that. I'm not blaming Trump for that. But the fact is, that company is owned by some guy from Russia who gave Putin his first money to be to run for office.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has influence over anybody here, I'm not saying Trump or whatever, it's probably that guy. You know, and yet, and I don't know what to make of it, Brent. I honestly don't. And Matt was like, "Don't even worry about it. That stuff happens all the time." And I'm going, I didn't want to argue with him because I love him. I mean, but plus it was getting late in the show. But no, it doesn't. It better not happen like all the time, where something in this country or in Canada or someplace is constantly being influenced by some rich mob guy from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Matt was saying that he was over in Russia and his business dealings are back and forth. You know, pretty much like internet. But it's not. This is not a deal with, you know, Joe's Button House where you're buying buttons for your shirts over in China. We're talking about guys that are essentially, you know, the Tony whatever Soprano of Russia, and they're not going to stop at owning the steel company. They want to own the politician, just like the people here want to own the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just different. I can't put my finger on it. I'm sure most Americans can't, but something of this whole mess smells to me. I'm not saying there should be another investigation. We just had one. I'm not saying there should be impeachment. I don't want to see that. But I don't know how the electorate gets their hands around this stuff. I really don't.
Well, I don't think they can because, first, it's very complicated, and I believe that the American public right now, even educated people in the American public, have a very short attention span. If you can't capture it in a soundbite, then it's not going to resonate. If you try to capture it in a soundbite, nothing you can say is really right. It may sound right, but there are multiple layers to any soundbite that you want, and the nuances that you've got to understand to say whether somebody is being honest and truthful or not is too much for most of the people in the American public. And for those who believe that they have the time and the understanding, it gets really complicated and really polarizing very quickly.
Well, I talked to, like I said, one of my Fed Brett gentlemen last night, who I think is a brilliant man, but he's so far right, it's off the chart. And I said, I said all I know is that it wasn't that long ago when Bush ran against Gore and we're fighting about hanging chads.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to worry about one of them being controlled by a Russian oligarch. I didn't have to worry about trying to catch favor to put a hotel over in Moscow or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to worry about this idea that either one of them was going to, you know, start calling people fuzzy foreigners, where he called people the other night in his thing and ranting and raving about individuals and calling these people the public enemy number one. And I really didn't have to worry about that. This is something new. I don't even know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then this guy says to me, "What are you talking about? I mean, Kennedy and Nixon had their problems too." Yes, they had their problems. But am I wrong by saying this is light years different, or am I just closer to it?
Well, there's a friend of mine who one time during a marathon said, "You know, this isn't the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's the hardest thing I've done in a long time."
Yeah.
When we're in the moment, things are disproportionate to reality. Things that seem very difficult now may seem to be the most difficult thing we've ever gone through or done, but they haven't. I mean, if you look back, there's probably one or two things at least in your lifetime that's been...
Well, there was the Iran-Contra was a big problem, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was
Well, there's also this thing called the Vietnam War.
Yes,
and there's been a couple of very strong economic downturns that we've both seen in our lifetimes. I mean, there are things that in retrospect, and 20 years from now, this may pale by comparison. But you know, it's in the moment; it's right in front of us right now, and we don't know how it's going to turn out. Regardless of how you want it to turn out, you don't know if it's going to be there or not. You don't know if it's going to turn out good or bad. And good or bad is even a relative term because it means what's good or bad for you or for me.
Well, one of the most, and again, I've tried to read as many as cross my desk. And a lot of people, by the way, listeners have sent a bunch of stuff in and I've been busily reading it. And one of the most chilling things that I've read is that the one guy said he read it and he wasn't in for the conspiracy thing. He never really thought that there was one. Maybe it was because of incompetence they didn't have one or whatever, but the fact is he never thought there was one. But he was absolutely astounded at how out of control and how poorly managed the White House is and how underlings basically routinely would torpedo some really dumb thing Trump wanted to do and saved him, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to contrast that to, like, what if this was wartime or something?
Mm-hmm.
And these people were in charge. They're blithering idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who's good is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who challenged him and basically saved his ass is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you compare this, I don't know how many people still to this day read stuff about World War II. You compare the last 2 years in terms of what the government has been going through. And what Churchill and Roosevelt had to go through, it's like kid stuff. And mm-hmm. they can't even manage that.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong? I mean,
No, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And one of the differences in the two time periods that you're talking about is that Roosevelt and Churchill felt that there was a true national crisis, a true emergency, and they also surrounded themselves with very competent people, even people that they felt were smarter than they were. And they listen to them. There may be people of contrary views who are in the cabinets, but you know, they looked for a depth of analysis. I don't think we see that with the current presidency. In fact, you know, after he left Kirstjen Nielsen go as the Department of Homeland Security, he said, "There's only one person who's running this whole thing," and he pointed to his head and he goes, "Me." The position of the presidency of the United States is too big for any one person. And I don't think that this...
Especially a guy who doesn't like to read.
Well, that was my next point. Somebody who doesn't like to read, somebody who doesn't really like to get into the facts. His is a knee-jerk reaction. And in fact, when you listen to him talk, he contradicts himself so many times, even within a short period of time. And yet, he doesn't understand that he's contradicting himself. It reminds me of an old Seinfeld episode where George Costanza was telling Jerry Seinfeld how to beat the lie detector test. And George says, "You know, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it." And where that comes in with Trump is Trump can say two completely inconsistent statements 5 minutes apart in his talk, and he believes both of them.
Well, so do his people, which is even
scary. And so do his people.
At some point, this is the issue I have with my significant other and some of her family members are all serious Trumpers. And I'm like, you're never going to get me, ever going to get me, to give anybody grief for voting for him versus Hillary. Because mm-hmm. I couldn't have voted for Hillary if she was the last person on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her antics with the commodity trades years ago. I mean, you're never going to get me to vote for anybody who took a trade that's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my livelihood, and anybody who does that is just not my person. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Not to mention the Whitewater deal. You know, mm-hmm. and this is years and years ago. This is long before the foundation and everything. So you're never going to get me to go there. But at some point, I mean, I voted for Obama the first time through.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a young guy. He said all the right things, blah, blah, blah. He seemed to have his heart in the right place. And then as the first term unwound, I thought he was not doing any of the things I thought he was going to do, and he became very co-opted. And I just listened, and I changed my mind. But what I see now is that, and even with my Fed buddy last night, there's no change in your mind. There's literally nothing the man can do, nothing egregious, where people will listen and say, boy, you know what, this, I don't know who the next person might be, but it better not be him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does remind me.
In fact, it's going the other way. His poll numbers within the hardcore Republican Party are increasing. The latest numbers that I saw from a week or two ago was 89% of Republicans are Trump supporters.
Well, I don't know how much people are willing to, and a lot of it is the other side. The if anything, the hatred of Democrats has gotten worse, and, mm-hmm. and the Democrats, foolishly enough, let the people in their party that are quote socialists, whatever that even means, become the mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So the vilification of the other party is even worse. But no matter what, there shouldn't be a 1-to-1 situation between. You can hate the Democrats more, but at least you got to realize what you're getting here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read a couple things where in the last, I don't listen to the guy that much, but in the last couple of months he's forgot where his dad was born like 3 times.
Well, not sure if he forgot or he doesn't want to admit it.
Well, but the point being
it doesn't suit. Yeah, right. I understand your point that there are things.
I guess
that
is he losing it? I guess is my question.
Okay, that's a legitimate question. And
if you ever had it, is he losing it?
Yeah, you can't lose something you never had. but you know, his rhetoric appeals to a group of people in this country, and to his credit, to Trump's credit. There have been things consistent with the Republican Party and their philosophies that have come true.
Yes.
And, you know, the economy is good right now. And usually,
maybe.
Well, right now.
Yes.
Right now, the indications are, I'm not talking about next month or next year, but right now, the economy and the numbers historically are even better than people have been anticipating. You know, if you look over the reports of the last couple of months, we kept hearing that we're in for a downturn. And yet, the unemployment numbers are still good. The growth, year-over-year growth, is still good. It's remarkable. So he has delivered a lot of the conservative things. Now, whether that's due to him and his policies, or whether it's due to Mitch McConnell, and, you know, for a couple of years when Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House, that's a completely different issue. But you know that he's taking credit for anything good in this country. And there are some things that, from the Republican philosophy, are good and have happened under his watch.
Well, the Republican philosophy is you tell the people, you give the people up top everything they want,
mm-hmm.
which is not the Republicans that I used to know, by the mm-hmm. way. Yeah, but I mean, this economy, I do not want to be doggy down or anything, but believe me, these numbers are wrong. They are absolutely wrong. It's 3.2%. If you put any kind of a regular a PCE inflator on top of this thing, we're not going anywhere, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some areas are, some companies, but we are getting narrower and narrower, and here's my shtick on it. I know I'm not going to get anywhere with this one, but when you talk to people regarding, you know, whether they're better off than they were 8 years ago, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 years ago. Maybe the answer might be slightly yes. But you look at the amount of debt it took, none of it's being earned.
Right. No, I understand that. And that's why I agree with you that the numbers are false. But to most people, they think that they are in a better position now than they were.
If we start peeing on their shoes and tell them if it's raining, they're going to say it is?
Many will.
Well, that's scary. I mean, I had a... How's this for a horrible vision? We're starting to see a little bit perking up. First was the federal funds rate sneaking ahead of the ridiculous number that the feds are paying banks, which actually means that the funds rate has resurrected itself and that there's a stirring of this interest rate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of it has to do with just regular people saying, if your inflation perks up a little bit, that I'm not going to give somebody money for that because the money's going downhill. And we've had, David was mentioning yesterday, a couple guys in Chicago and a few other places are starting to worry about this inflation. What do you think happens? What do you think happens if, as we're entering an election cycle, if we start to get some real inflation numbers and the Fed, you know, grows a pair instead of bending over for the guy, and all of a sudden at the end of the year, and in our lifetime, it starts raising stuff by like 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then this time next year, the market collapses. This guy blames the Fed. There's an election. He gets thrown out. He won't leave because he claims that he was sabotaged.
Well, whether he's sabotaged or not doesn't mean that he can't leave or can't be pushed out of office. Well, he loses the election.
Mechanism for that?
Well, the mechanism is that on the third Monday or whatever it is in January, a new president is sworn into office.
I understand, but I'm saying we've never had anybody. I'm just saying he's not like anybody else that was there.
That's true. I understand that, but I really don't think that even anybody like a Mitch McConnell or a Jim Jordan would say that he can't be forced out of office if he loses the election.
Well, but if the Fed and everybody and all this starts to happen, I can't imagine the vitriol against who caused it, who these people were. What are his people going to think? That he was railroaded out? Are they going to grab their guns and start doing something?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's getting serious.
You're boggling my mind, Chief.
Well, but
I mean, the idea that somebody would not leave office if they lost an election.
Okay, I wouldn't want to see it either. But I'm saying he's convinced that the whole world's against him.
He's convinced that he's the best person and the smartest person in the world.
All I'm saying is this could very easily happen. And you and I in our lifetime have seen half point increases, three quarter point increases. Mm-hmm. And if we ignore it, I mean, this is the one area that I'm pretty good at. And every time you see it in all the history of other countries, you see it happening. I'm just saying what would be a constitute? The sides are polarized enough to almost start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of shootings
in
the last couple of months in particular that have quite a bit of support by comments that were made by the White House and by the extreme right. And the white nationalism, the rise of white nationalism is very scary.
By the way, when I said that, I want to be way off the charts here and say this is just nuts. This is a bad dream. You know, I mean, the last thing I want to do is watch something like this. I don't know that any rules are around anymore, Brennan. I mean, I don't know what, I mean, we've had some guy for whatever reason, and again, I will say that he has done a lot of really good in calling out some stuff that needed to be called out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, that's so dead, but I think the man has amazing amounts of talent if he was reined in a little bit and like you said, put some smart people around him. But he's showing he wants Conway and what's her name to run around and tell everybody he's really right.
And Sarah Huckabee.
Yeah, he wants. You know, I mean, that's. But I don't. I think we've been fooling ourselves with this recovery, because to me the most bizarre thing is that the. As a matter of fact, here's what got me all going is that my buddy Robert sends me all this stuff from the economic papers from like the Fed and so forth, and this was written by some guy, and he's talking about how everybody in the world seems to think that middle class America, if you account for inflation, really hasn't done very well in the last 40 years. And I think, you know, but this guy starts from the other end and he says, well, the way I look at it, you can't look at it in terms of income, you look at it in terms of consumption. So if people have stuff, they're better off no matter what. So, because I look around and I see everybody, even with low income families, have a cell phone. So they must be doing okay. And oh, by the way, 30 years from now, there was one car per family, even in the middle and low income areas, and now there's 1.6. And I say, and I'm reading this thing, and here's a brilliant guy rattling off all these formulas and stuff that I don't know what he's talking about. How do you look at the fact that people have cell phones and people have cars more than they had, and not realize that people now have credit card balances, which there were no such thing,
mm-hmm.
and people, and the amount of car, the auto loans is off the chart.
Right.
I mean, if you go out, I mean, this is a very simple question, and I need to get this guy on here, not to grill him, but, yeah, maybe to grill him, what the hell. But, I mean, I'm gonna ask him a simple question. If Jay-Z, or me, or Maddie, or you, goes out and buys a car for the last time I got these figures, the average car price was like $32,000.
Mm-hmm.
The average loan was like $29,500.
Mm-hmm.
Did I buy it? Did I really buy it?
No.
So the fact that I'm driving around into it, does this show the world that I'm now doing way better than I was before?
No. And all you have to do is look back to 2008, 2009, when what happened with the housing market. People who were house rich became house poor very suddenly.
Right.
And all of the things that they thought they had, they could no longer afford.
I mean, my the last I want to see an economy that's actually booming. I want to see a stock market that's going up for all the right reasons. I want my clients making a bunch of dough, which means I make a bunch of dough. And this is my view of the world. I want to see this happen. I just don't know how the hell we fell apart in 2008 because we had way too much debt. And here we are 10 years later with a bunch of knuckleheads telling us how much better we're doing and our debt's doubled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It's not just in total, but those, per person.
But those same people are saying that what used to be a problem 10 years ago with too much debt under Democratic administrations is not a problem right now because we will grow the economy and debt is irrelevant.
Well, that's one of the problems, I think, the major problem with having income, you know, diseconomy,
mm-hmm.
is not the fact that some people maybe that have earned it, which you know, I don't think most people who make money earn it, that most of the people that have earned it have, they are now in control of the mess. They get to control the media.
Mm-hmm.
And which people say, oh, no, they don't. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Who's kidding who? The S&P futures up 75 cents. NASDAQ futures down 7.25. Big number today, obviously. The big thing is still we got Google. I got it down 97 bucks, which is 7.5%. That's a big ouch. A lot of revenue. We'll talk about more when we come back. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as they do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm tonight with Mr. Brendan Cornan. She's Jay-Z. Jessica's Lucy on the board. We'll have Mr. Joel on Ken in a second. Right now, S&P futures up 50 cents. NASDAQ futures down 925. Most of this is, again, we've got Google. Down 96.57 at 7.5%, trading 11 down. It's run up quite a bit lately, but still, that's a pretty reasonable step back. And kind of surprised the NASDAQ's not down more, but it's down some. And the Dow up 25 points because none of this stuff is really affecting the Dow. We still got Apple down 91 cents. Their earnings are coming up as well. Over in Asia, or we'll do Europe first. The DAX is down a whole up 66 cents. Let's call that one flat for a minute. FTSE down 15.2%. CAC around down 13.2%, so not much going on over in Europe. Nikkei down 48 points, 0.2%. Shanghai up 15.5%. They were down yesterday, as you recall. Hang Seng down 193.6%. They were up yesterday, so everybody's kind of flip-flopping this week. We've got oil up 97 cents, 64.47. Brent is up $1. Wow, that's a 1.4%, 73.05. So that spread is now $8.60, which is higher than we've seen in a while. Natural gas 2.60. Remember, David yesterday said he was bullish natural gas here, so we'll see. RBOB 2.10, so that's up 2 cents, back up over $2. Actually, it was up to 2.15, went down to 2.08, now back to 2.10. We've got gold up 6.40, 12.87, silver up 9 cents, back over 15. 15.02. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Go White Sox.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Chief. Morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago weather today has a high of 48, low of 38. Expect scattered showers throughout the day. Phoenix is cloudy with a high of 84 and a low of 61. In baseball, the Cubs were off and the White Sox beat the Orioles 5-3. And in traffic, there's one accident on I-94 going west before Steel Bridge. Stop and go traffic. Expect up to a 10-minute delay. Nothing else. Back to you.
Joel, are you with us, buddy?
I'm with us. You guys were just a little light. How you doing this morning?
We're doing fine so far. All it does is rain here, for God's sake.
Yeah, same here. Can we cover sports first?
We could, because Jay-Z forgot all about East Branch and DuPage River in a flood zone, the Fox River at Montgomery flood zone. You would think she'd be talking about all this stuff, but she is not.
No, she wanted my draft grades.
Yeah, I have an expert here. Why would I even,
Tinley Creek in Palos Park. I don't even know where that is. So what's your draft grades? I think the Bears did all right for...
I'm going to give the draft grade for two teams.
Okay.
First of all, for the Motor City Kitties, I'm going to give them an I for incomplete because I have no idea who they drafted in the second round. And it's the only time I've been watching a draft where a player has come up in the second round and neither station covering it had any news on the guy, the linebacker out of Hawaii. So that was a big stretch. He was supposed to go in the, third or fourth, maybe even fifth round. And then the only A-plus I'm going to give to the Pittsburgh Steelers, they took two Michigan players.
God. What about the quarterback that was supposed to go like second or third round, didn't go anywhere, and then the guy from Duke went in the first round, and the guy didn't even know he was going to get drafted.
Yeah, I told you, I thought Haskins was the best quarterback in the draft. That's hard for me to admit, being a big Michigan fan. But I don't know. The Giants, I don't know what they're reaching at with that pick with Daniel Jones. But, you know, it's hard. They do their scouting. They have the reports. He was the player they wanted. So, yeah, that, I mean, these drafts, I mean, I'm being a little facetious here because it takes so long, you know, for these things to play out. And then, you know, the old Tom Brady, who I predicted would not make it in the NFL, went late in the sixth round. So you never know. You never know.
Well, Joe Montana was, what, three or four somewhere?
Yeah. I mean, it all of it. And you know what we have on Saturday, right?
What Saturday?
The first Saturday in May, Chief? Am I going to have to fire you?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, the reason why I don't, it's not a tip of my tongue, as I could have sworn that this year you said you would have a box down there and I would be in the box.
I want to go. My wife and I keep talking about going, but it just seems like one thing after another comes up. But no box this year, but maybe the next couple years. But it's shaping up to be a pretty good race. You haven't had the draw yet. The draw's not to tomorrow. And I'm only on today, so I'm just going to have to give you a quick opinion.
It's tradition. You call in on Friday.
I like a long shot.
It's tradition. You call in on Friday of the Derby.
You want me to call in on Friday?
We've done it for like 5 years in a row. Why wouldn't we do it this year?
Okay. All right. Then I won't give any of my early predictions. We'll go over the Derby on Friday.
What about, give me two while you're here. What about, I'm glad I didn't do anything in G. I had a feeling that the thing is down. It's down so low, it's starting to look like up. So I got it. I didn't put a spread on in there.
Yep.
And I was looking at the 9.5, and the thing's trading 10.78. What about Google? What's going on there, man?
What's going on with Google is a mixed report, but disappointing sales growth. The revenue miss is what the street's focusing on. You know, maybe losing some of that ad share, you know, that ad revenue. So that's what the street's concerned about today, and it's down almost $100,
yep,
trading at 11.90.75. That's the Goog without the L. But we'll see what happens early. It's quiet. I mean, this is a gift for sure. It's just sitting here at 11.90. But it's the sales miss. I mean, they beat nice on the EPS, 11.90 versus 10.56, but they came up shy about a bill on the revenue. So that's what the street's focusing on.
Well, even if you believe the 3.2% GDP growth, which I don't, I agree with it nominally. I don't agree with it real. How is it at some point, Joel, you can't have every company doing 10% better than the year before when the economy is only doing 3% better. The numbers don't add up.
Well, Google's the first one of the FANG to miss. Yep. So the other ones have been doing pretty well, and I don't know if you can equate, apples and oranges on that, Chief. If the economy's going at 3%, I mean, it's different,
right,
for each company. Some companies don't make money at all. Some companies are growth companies. Some techs are biotech. But right now, I mean, the earnings are coming in. The big daddy after the close is going to be Apple, and that's had a nice pre-earnings run, and there's a lot of high expectations for Apple. Let's see how they're treated after their report. And it's the interesting thing about Apple is they warned on the first day of the year, oh, we're not going to make as much money. They pounded the stock that day. It was actually the first trading day of the year, and it rallied, you know, it's rallied, you know, 40% since then. So high expectations for Apple. They're going to have to blow it away on
what do you think,
both the top end and the bottom end.
What do you think that is changed with the Apple? I mean, when it was higher the first time and I started running these problems, they've been running the real issues with this $1,000 phone. At the same time, we've been sort of fighting with China. I mean, it couldn't have been a worse time for them to try and do that. And I think it didn't work out so well for them. And they told us so, right? And the stock went down, and I don't know if it went down too much. It probably did, because, I mean, there's one hell of a company, and they got a lot of cash, so it's not like you want to forget them. But now we've marched back up almost like it never happened. Is this going to be like, they're not going to fall into the IBM trap where every earnings they come out and say something bad's happening, stock gets pummeled, and then it makes its way back up the rest of the quarter. It couldn't have been that bad, and they do it again the next quarter, it goes down again. I mean, Apple's not going to start getting in that same trick bag, are they? I hope.
I mean, they're trying to diversify, you know, away from the iPhone, the services. They have the eyes and the ears of people. They're on. They have the ecosystem. They're working on different things to try and diversify away from the iPhone. So we'll see how the services, how the ancillary businesses that they've started up. So they're trying to move away from that. And, you know, they started with the Apple News. There's a lot of the credit card. So they're trying to, you know, diversify away from the phone. We'll see if that is evident in the earnings report.
I agree that that's what they should be doing. I actually think they're doing a pretty darn nice job. And they've got that ecosystem. But God bless, Joel. The numbers, when you can sell a $1,000 item that costs you, what is their margin, 65%? You're not going to get that in auto and self-driving cars. You're not going to get that in news. You're not going to get that anywhere. I mean, nobody has a margin of that size for a product like that for that long, and then say, "Oh, we'll just go find a new product." I mean, it's like a once in a lifetime deal, I think, you know.
Well, and then, like I said, it's the services and that are coming off that phone is that, you know, what's going to drive the growth going forward. And that's what the company needs to do. They're also buying back a ton of stock. They have Warren Buffett on their side. A lot of good things going for them ahead of this report. Not back at all-time highs here, but getting a little profit-taking ahead. Yep. A lot of people like to play the stocks ahead of earnings, you know, the pre-earnings run-up and then cash out instead of find the outrageous options. But we'll be keeping an eye on the report on the upside. We'll be keeping an eye on the 208.50. That's been the high of the rebound. And then on the downside for Apple, you know, 200. It's close, but that's a big psychological level. A lot of people wait for that to get back over 200. So those are my early numbers ahead of the report.
Joel,
200 for support, 208.50 for
resistance. We got 15 seconds. When you and I give us another 20 years of life, what do you think is going to be written about all these stock buybacks after history is written, good or bad?
20 years, I'll say good.
Really? Okay.
Because the market will be incredibly higher in 20 years, so everyone will say whatever they did was right. I mean, would we like to see them put the money more towards R&D and development? Yes, but people just care about price. And
well,
buybacks send the price of their stock higher, Chief. That's what people care about.
All right, we'll talk at you Friday. We'll get a time.
Go Blue.
All right, take care. S&P futures up a quarter. NASDAQ futures down 11.50 now. Again, that's mostly all because of Google. And Apple's down a buck, so it's not much there. We'll be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcari.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom, Mr. Brennan Cornan. She is Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures up a quarter. NASDAQ Futures down 1025. And I understand Kenny just covered his 100,000 shares of Google. He sold yesterday at about 2 o'clock. And he's lighting up the cigar like Red Auerbach. Is that true?
I should only hope that was true. No, I did not.
What the hell? We have this vision of you're the man. The man.
I am, right?
Yes.
But did you see that, the way they're punishing? What's it down? 7 or 8% already this morning on the back of that news, which I think is, well, listen, the thing is up 25% year to date. So if they're going to take a little bit of 7% out of it today, and then it'll rally right back, in my opinion, because I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. But hey, look, you know, the analysts make these projections, and growth stock buyers buy the stock based on, you know, what their perception is. So when it misses, they get punished. And they get punished hard. So I think you'll see that Google today, which will put a little bit of pressure, I imagine, on the tech, on the whole tech sector. So it certainly did that overnight in Asia, and it did that overnight a little bit in Europe. So you would not be surprised to see that kind of happen here.
Well, we're out, in my opinion, we're outstripping not only in prices but in revenue projections. If you add up all the companies, how much better they're going to do. We're going to have we need about a 20% GDP growth, not three, to make those numbers.
Right.
And somehow that darn math comes back to haunt you.
It always does.
It always does. But market's been strong. We have a GDP number. I don't think it was a shock, Kenny, because I think they're smoking with the numbers. I think that the deflator is too low. And
I think you're right, and I think, you know, that the original that's the first shot. The 3.2% number that we got last week is really the first iteration, right? It's going to go through two more iterations, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see that number come down a little bit. I don't necessarily think it's going to go back to 2% or 2.2 that some people were talking about, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it come to the high twos. But even that's still good. I mean, listen, that's not necessarily bad, right? If it's a 2.8 or 2.9% rate in the end, I think that's still a very good rate.
If it's real, I'm all for it. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Right now, three's the number. You gotta get over, if our debt is growing at $1 trillion a year, that's what? Yeah. What's divided by 22, that's 2.2%, right? Of the
right.
Economy is essentially debt growing. So you need to be, if you can get 3% real, it means that you're gaining on it. And
right.
even if it's, you know, a very small gain, it's, at least it's a right. gain. And then, you know, and by, and by the year 25-25, you're okay, right? Like the song says.
yeah, unless we take another dip.
Unless right? we take another dip,
more
yeah.
money into the system,
or find another war or do something, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, by and large, if you get above where your debt growth is, you know, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. Not much better, but, yeah. but some. And, right. and, but if, I just, funny thing, I mean, maybe I'm, ancient here. I mean, Brendan is almost the same age. I don't think we have any of the infrastructure at all, Kenny, to even let people know about the inflation stuff. It used to be where you could walk out and say, Kenny Polcari Pizza Company, our revenues were up 10%, but by the way, we raised the price of pizzas 15% and we actually sold four less pizzas. That's nowhere in the vernacular now. So you honestly don't know. You know, when your Home Depot comes out and says, you know, sales are up 10%, did they sell more plasterboard, the same or less?
I mean, right, but I think if you delve, I do think if you delve into those reports, and I'm not an analyst, so I don't delve that deeply into them, but I do think that information's in there, right? If you really want to find it, I do think it's in there. I don't necessarily think that they put it right at the top line and tell everybody, but I do think that information is in there.
I think you'd have to be way better than I ever was at getting information to find it.
Yeah, that gets too granular for me. Right? Yeah. So I don't go that deep. I'm not an analyst, so therefore I don't necessarily go that deep unless we're talking about. Yeah, you know, maybe you go that deep in Google today just because it'll be a big story. So they'll dissect the number and they'll look exactly where the shortfall came from, right? And then they'll talk about that ad nauseum.
Well, I mean, it reminds me of your contemporary, you know, Kramer, when he used to tout Lambert over at the Kmart. Talking about all this property and everything. Kenny, I don't know, maybe you know, you probably do, because you know more about this. I mean, tell me a spot anywhere where you could go and see where Sears or Kmart, all their properties listed, whether they leased them, whether they owned them, what they were depreciated down to. Maybe there's some place. Man, I don't know how many people you'd have to hire to find it.
Right, yeah. No, you're right. I'm not sure that's so easily attainable. I'm sure you have to do a lot of work to figure it out, but yeah, I don't think it's all in any one location for sure.
But I mean, just in general, we're not used to giving the gross and net numbers. If inflation was almost already 10%, nobody gives those numbers anymore, is what I'm saying. Maybe,
right.
maybe we could
right.
easy enough, but we don't, you know. And we're probably not there yet, you know. I don't think it's that bad, although, here's one I did want to run by you. Not in those numbers, I think, anywhere, are the are taxation, and yet in the Chicago area in Illinois, and I'm guessing maybe in where you are in Connecticut, the property taxes have reached the point where they're probably the single biggest driver of increase in omelets, increase in burgers, increase in anything you want, even prices in like drugstores and stuff.
Right. Well, the property taxes, which forces the rents to go up, which then they have to make it up somewhere. So you're absolutely right. I think that's right. Right. That not only the property taxes, but then certainly some of the costs of food products. In this case, we're talking about restaurants, food products. I don't know if anyone's been to the supermarket lately. It doesn't seem like anyone in the Fed goes food shopping, because food has, at least around here in the Northeast, has skyrocketed. I was talking, you know, 2 weeks ago, a pound of Dunkin' Donuts coffee is $12
yeah,
a pound.
Yeah.
I mean, last year I bought 4 pounds for $20. And so you can't tell that there's no inflation, right?
Well, I would say that if you talk to your family members that's still in the restaurant business, you're probably going to find that the cost of the food is probably not the reason why stuff's going up. This one weekend, we went out to, a buddy of mine is getting his tire fixed, so we go to like the Golden Nugget, which Kenny is, it's like a step up from the Waffle House. And $14.50 for an omelet, and yet I went to the Restaurant Depot and bought 15 dozen large eggs for $10.50.
Right.
So, it had nothing to do with the amount of what they paid for the eggs and the omelet. It must be property taxes or something.
It's gonna be coming from property taxes and rent rolls, right?
Right. I mean, they'll give it to you for free. They don't care. Give me $20 and you walk in the door and I'll feed you breakfast. What don't you understand? I mean, we're almost at that stage. Restaurant people, they just give me $50. I'll feed you and give you wine. What do you want? I just need $50 from every fanny in the door. I think that's where we're at. Because of the overhead.
Yeah.
So what do you make of this, Mark? You think this comes back, or what if we get the 1-2 punch in Apple? I don't think we will, but what if we do?
I don't think we're going to get the 1-2 punch in Apple. I mean, Apple, there was an Apple a couple weeks ago where they kind of, prepped what was going on, but I actually think Apple will be okay. And look, Apple is still Apple. I don't care what you say. Apple's one of those names that should be in your portfolio as kind of one of the core holdings. Whether or not you trade around that core holding, and you take some money off the table when it runs and put some money back in as it comes in. But I think Apple's just one of those names that remains a core holding. And I think Apple's going to be fine. And I think the Google thing, today they'll punish it. It'll be down 7%, but I think you'll see that bounce right back.
As well.
I mean, it feels okay to me. The S&P and the NASDAQ certainly making new highs. The Dow has not. The Russell has not. They haven't really pierced those October highs, although they're getting closer. But I still think it feels okay.
If Apple with this, $1,000 phone and the 65% margin, you think if that continues to clunk some, they can make it up for it in other areas? I mean, it seems like that's an awful lot of money.
I agree with you because it is a little bit ridiculous to spend $1,000 on a phone, but think about the way people use phones today, right? All the things that the phones could do, which is both a blessing and a curse, right? Because quite honestly, I think there's too much on the phone, but one way or the other, it is what it is. I do, though, think that after this latest round, when they hit that $1,000 mark and then they started to see some pushback, I think they'll make it up with less expensive phones as we move this year into the fall season and you get ready for Christmas and all that stuff. I actually think you're not going to see further increases necessarily in the price of an Apple phone, but I do think you're going to see efforts to make it up in other places, whether it's on iPads or phones that maybe are not as sexy but still accomplish all the things you need to accomplish today.
Well, they definitely have the loyalty and infrastructure. Thanks, Kenny. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right.
SP Futures up $1.75. NASDAQ Futures only down 5 now, even with the Google, so we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Brennan Cronin. He's Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures up 2, NASDAQ futures down 450. So, Jay-Z, why didn't you report and the flooding going on here is part of the weather. What if you were across the street there and didn't hear it? Just saying. Nothing's in the red, though, so you're okay. Everything's just creeping. Now, what if it rains again tonight?
That's what I'm supposed to look at.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, what if you were, standing across the street from the Fox River listening to Stocks and Jacks, and all of a sudden your feet are in the water and Jay-Z didn't tell you, you know?
True.
God.
And the couch gets wet.
So what would happen if you had like a saloon on the Fox River, Brendan? What is it, like 4 years out of the last five that the thing's flooded and you've had like a 2 month season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good for business. But, I think that's part of the climate change issues that's been raising. And it'll be more interesting to see what happens, when things like Greenland continue to melt and you see the loss of ice in Antarctica and Greenland and the Arctic Circle. I think you're going to see more of this on the coast.
Well, did you see I was reading this thing about the ice shelf that actually once covered this whole area, and it's been kind of retreating ever since. It's down to such a small thing in Canada, it actually, talking 10, 15 years, it might absolutely disappear.
Mm.
I don't know if that'll make a big difference. I don't think it's that big anymore, but but it would be pretty interesting. The ice age would finally. I mean, this whole area obviously was covered, right? Sort of interest. That's a tough one, though, Brendan. It's obviously that some stuff has to happen, but you ask yourself, if you put people out of business here, and they just move to China and do it there, have you gained anything?
No, not net gain. No.
Yeah,
all you're doing is moving the point of where the factors that eliminate the ozone,
yep.
The direction that they get to the ozone, instead of coming from Missouri or Kansas, they're coming from the center of China.
Yeah, you almost think that you're better off with a little pollution here, where you can kind of control somebody, at least keep it to a dull roar, than send them somewhere else and there's no rules at all.
Although it's not just a question of what's good for the environment, it's good what's good for the economy when you're talking about the movement of facilities overseas. I mean, that started a number of years ago when you're looking at the cost of labor in places like Vietnam or China or wherever else you move the factories. So it's not just a question about controlling the cost of climate change or the result of the effects of climate change. It's a much more nuanced question.
Well, there's a economic principle, and this we'll run this up here. We'll run this one up the flagpole because when you have the argument of how much regulation, and again, there's regulation that makes sense and there's regulation that doesn't. There was a matter of fact, this old goat, for lack of a better term, just died recently. A guy named Ronald Coase. He was at the University of Chicago. The dude made it to like 95 or something, Brennan. That's a great job to have. All those old professors seem to like last a long time. It's a less stressful job than being a trader or a lawyer. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because I read this thing when I was in grad school, and it was old then. This guy wrote it. It is the singular treatise probably on pollution and things like that. Now, it didn't have anything to do with people getting sick, because people know about it. Basically, long story short, don't tell what they say. It had to do with a factory moving into a town in northern Britain or Scotland or someplace. So the factory starts belching stuff out. Now, he didn't go into any of the part about, where the people in there are getting lung cancer and God knows what. Basically said up at that time, they didn't even, there was no paint, right? It was white. What exactly was whitewash? Was it just, like some kind of thinner with some dye in it or something?
I think that's all it was just some watered down paint that would be able to be covering, paint.
But it was all, oil based, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the story is in this town that people had basically whitewashed their house and fence all the time, Sawyer, say every 5 years. But once these guys started belching crap into the air, they had to do it every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a cost that was shoved to the community that the factory didn't pay. And the name of it was something called, that he named it, was an economic externality. And when you look at a lot of the fights in this country or anywhere between, it's all jobs, and it's all blah, blah, blah. And it's turned into a, Republican versus other fight versus tree hugger fight versus, but it wasn't always like that. I mean, it basically comes down to a lot of anybody who has something big, factory, farm, whatever it is, to the extent that they can shove part of the cost to society off on somebody else, it's worth it in the short run. If you're going to be a good citizen in the long run, you're going to be forced to clean your mess up, then maybe it might be a bad idea, mm-hmm. because it costs more to clean it up than it did to clean it up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, depending on how long you're there, who are the guys that made the Merck Motors outboards? It wasn't outboard marine, it was they polluted Waukegan Harbor. Now, it probably would have been better off, since those guys were still in business and were forced to clean it up and damn near went out of business or did go out of business, they probably should have been more attentive on day one, where it would have been a lot cheaper to not make it dirty in the first place. So there's, what I'm saying is, a lot of what you see here is shoving costs on other people. And whenever you can do that, obviously you make more money. So it's sort of important for the society to say, no, wait a minute. You don't get to throw your garbage in Jay-Z's lawn. You gotta dispose of it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's bad for business. Well, so what?
Bad for my business.
A lot of what people need to do, and it's never going to be perfect, is to make sure that somebody basically cleans up after themselves. Because
mm-hmm.
if not, other people end up doing it, and it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I have to clean up Love Canal?
Mm-hmm.
The guys who dirtied it should clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the
cost of doing business on your end as the starter and the polluter is greater than you're actually paying.
Right, that's my point. So, because the cost you throw on other people is what they call this economic externality. Now it's gone on to be, oh, by the way, the guys who did asbestos, those guys now have, what is it, mesothelioma, and years mm-hmm. later,
yeah.
Now who picks up that cost? Not those guys. It's the rest of us, right?
Well, they're not around anymore.
Well, but I mean, they're not. Well, some are. Some are.
Well, but you're right.
Yeah.
Society is now picking up the cost for that.
Right. And to the extent these guys made, no, I don't think that's not the same though. It's not the same as pollution where you save cleanup. I don't think these people realize that 40 years later, people are going to get lung cancer. I mean, I doubt that. I mean, there was a lot of asbestos-related cancer at the time, but the sneaky one that 50 years later you get, I don't see how anybody could have thought that was coming. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, as much as I like to vilify these guys, I'm not going to do that. I mean, does anybody really think that some kid helping out in a factory at age 17 was going to get it? Like, look at Merlin Olsen. Mm-hmm. And look at Johnny Lattner. Those guys, what, they worked one summer for a pipe fitting company?
Yeah.
And yeah. No, 50 years later, I mean.
I think that there's a lot of that where there are unintended consequences and that there's no malignant thought on behalf of somebody who is saying, okay, we'll expose these young kids or adults as our workers, knowing that something is going to happen to them. Now, however, there does come a point, and this was true with the tobacco industry, where the evidence is so strong that there is a deleterious effect on what you're doing.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And if you hide that information and deny that information, then that is culpable. And that's a different
analysis. I would take those guys and hang them for L-Trax. Once they know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was, remember when you were in high school, I don't know if you guys had them, they would pass out these, actually it might have been even in grammar school, they'd pass out these 4 or 5 page educational kind of things, then there was a quiz at the end.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I remember to this day, had to do with an asbestos plant in Puerto Rico. And how they didn't realize what it was doing to people yet, but they had, you know, it was a crummy looking place. They had all these stray dogs running around the place. And they knew the evidence was insurmountable that the amount of cancer in the dogs and cats around the area was dramatic. And all these dogs were getting cancer at like age 3. So people knew there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they never went on to do it. I wonder how sneaky some of these companies are. I mean, I don't know if I tell you a story about that. When I was doing my stadium tour, which I haven't done in a while, I got a few more to go to. I went to a game in Detroit, and this lady sitting next to me with these two twin boys, which are big, good looking kids. They're both like 6'5". And she's giving me kind of her life story. Imagine that. People give me. and she worked for this, what do you call them, fuel injector plant in like Jackson. And it's, you know, I never, what is the connection between the auto companies and what's the place that does all the parts? They all ended up in the unions. I think they all worked for one of the companies and they were spread off. Wasn't that, you'll think of the name, the outfit that's the, parts manufacturer, and then they would supply all the different people. Anyway, they were at this fuel injector plant. It was a remnant of a Ford plant, and somebody got a hair up there behind it. They could pay less for labor up in the Syracuse area because they had lost all the locomotive business and stuff, so they moved the thing up there. And she goes, they moved like 2 or 3 million parts and drill bits and stuff, and it took way more and cost way more. And I said, if you don't really ask, what happened to your husband? And he said, we had this rare form of cancer. And she goes, like 12 or 15 other guys in the plant had the same thing. And all of a sudden, the hair goes up in the back of my neck. I wonder, Brendan, if that's the reason why they moved that plant. And not because they could save a buck on labor up in
there. Yeah.
That there was something starting to happen there.
Well, then you got to wonder, did that group of cancers go to the Syracuse area? If you look at that, you know, 15, 20 years later, was there a similar incidence of cancer in the Syracuse?
I think most of the older people didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird part is, this has to be 10 years ago, Brendan, and maybe 8. And she said, you know, the drug problem was so bad up in upstate New York. This is before I even, this is for me being in Chicago, totally oblivious to this rural drug. I mean, when Bernie Sanders said that New Hampshire had the biggest drug problem in the country, I would have ranked, seriously, New Hampshire 49 or 50.
I would too.
If you were to ask me.
I was surprised at that when I saw those numbers.
Well, evidently, it was already, she said it took them damn near a year to fill out the plant with workers that could pass a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need, you know, 500 people. 1,000 people show up and 800 of them would fill out the drug test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, anyway, you wonder what the motivation is for a lot of this stuff and what is the untold story of what, you know, the industrial era did to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure we could all, you know, talk. I mean, I know that in my family, the Italian group that came from Italy, I'm going to say the age that most of them died was 90 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And their kids, I'm going to say 3/4 of them died of cancer before 70.
Hmm.
Well, now that you can't tell me there's not some environmental issue there.
Well,
or multiple ones.
That's right. Those are staggering statistics.
Yeah, and it's just one family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think the average age was for people that worked the back of the yards?
Oh, it was pretty low.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about what kind of chemicals did you use in the rendering plants and stuff, for God's sake, and in the tanning factories on the north side?
Yeah, well, at the turn of the century, the average life expectancy was about 50 years old for a man. And I would bet that when you're looking at areas like the stockyards and some of the rail industries and coal mining, it was probably in the upper 30s, low 40s.
Well, when the Roosevelt, I don't know, anyway, who knows what the story was there, his wife's friend, I won't go any further, it's politically correct, she was a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And what was Roosevelt's right-hand man named Hopkins? Was that his name?
I don't remember.
But whoever his chief of staff was, essentially plunked this lady in a new car, mm-hmm, with a driver and said, we got to find out, you know, there was no internet.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and find out what's going on in the country. How bad is it?
Mm-hmm.
And she went out and spent like a year and sent letters back from wherever she was. And it was a toss-up, Brennan, as to who, I'm going to say, between the sharecroppers in the South and the coal miners, it was pretty much a toss-up as to who had it worse.
Because
the coal miners now are out of work, and they're all sick,
mm-hmm,
and with virtually no medical care. It was pretty bad. And the sharecroppers had, the deal was when they started paying some of these farmers to not grow, their, you know, some of the New Deal stuff. The idea was if you were a landowner and you got a check, you were supposed to split it up with the sharecroppers.
Well, yeah, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So then these people from the north, you know, the goody liberal guys, went down there to try and force it to happen. And a lot of those ended up on the end of a rope. And that's when they tried to have the federal anti-lynching law. And for a while, that was the longest filibuster ever. Was against the anti-lynching law.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that long ago.
No.
I mean,
less than 100 years ago.
Yeah, less than
like
100
7 years
ago. And it's, anyway, so there's things we definitely have to be mindful of in this country, and I get the feeling that we're maybe coming unglued a little bit, and the economy is just part of it. Because if you start lying about statistics, or not doing it correctly, why would you correct anything if you think things are okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're lying to yourself. I mean, I hope that they're not as much as I think they are. And, I mean, because when you think about it, Brandon, you want two things. You want inflation, huge inflation, so you can pay people back with money that's worth less than the money you borrowed. Yet, you don't want inflation because you got up your payments to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you have both? I guess you can have inflation and lie to people about whether you don't.
Mm-hmm. Gee, where do we hear that?
Yeah, I mean, so what do you make of what's going on in Chicago politically with the Kim Fox and this thing? Is this going to turn out to be a total fiasco?
I think from her standpoint, she's not going to do very well in the election next year. I don't know that there's enough of a movement to remove her from office, but she's just making a lot of mistakes. And I think that, well, I think it would have been a lot worse had Tony Preckwinkle been elected mayor.
How far can she play this race card?
She's pushing it pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's there's starting to be limits to that.
I think there is. There is a limit to that. But you know, it'd be very interesting to see who decides to run against her next year. But you know, some of the things, you know, I realize the arguments that Tony Preckwinkle and Tom Dart, who's the county sheriff, for example, have talked about with the way that the jail system has been run, really like a camp for medical purpose for people who have mental health issues,
right,
as well as minor drug convictions, and the disparities of how people are treated depending on their economic status as far as getting out of bail and things like that. Totally understand that, but the way that this administration under Kim Fox is going in the opposite direction, it's not selling well.
Well, I don't. It clearly isn't the New York model, where you prosecute on the lower end because you know whether the broken
windows. Broken windows, yeah.
I mean, it clearly isn't that group. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what. Where's the end game on it? I mean, I don't. the whole idea that now every single time somebody, a minority, is arrested on anything. We had this huge discussion where were we the other night regarding police people who pull over, you know, for traffic stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I have odd views on this because whenever I was in Ohio, I'd see people pulled over in construction areas. They inevitably have Illinois plates.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't stop for constructions. And people in Ohio pay attention.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless you know, unless I'm the white guy cop sitting there in Evergreen Park and I let some white guy speed by me and don't stop him and wait for a black guy and I do stop him, unless you're in my mind, how do you look at the statistics at the end of the year and say, well, gee, Evergreen Park had, it used to be 25,000 people, you know, 24,999 were white, and the traffic stops on 95th Street say they were 40% black.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably is that the people in Evergreen Park realize their police force, unlike the Chicago police force, meant business.
Yeah.
And would slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And other people didn't. And you know what? There's only so much. If you stop four black people in a row going 50 miles an hour in a 30, does that mean you got to let the fifth guy go because it's too many? I mean, what are the statistics really telling you, I guess?
Yeah, and that's a very hard question because, you know, go back to the example you started off with, that if that same cop allows three white drivers to go by at 35 miles an hour in a 30 zone, it stops the first black guy who goes through at 32.
That's wrong. I mean, I think that would be wrong. I don't think anybody would agree that that's right. Do you?
Mm-hmm. No. But my point is that you don't really know when you're saying that the statistics are lying. In your example, you know, we're 40% are black drivers for going through the area, and yet there's a very small proportion of black residents in the municipality. You're right. That can be interpreted many different ways, and one way is totally defensible, and that is the one you said, that, you know, the residents of Evergreen Park know that area, know it's a speed trap, so they slow down going through that area. But drivers from outside, and if they're predominantly of another race, then they're the ones that are pulled over. It looks like there's targeting.
I'm going to say that Illinois, other than Miami, Illinois has the greatest disregard for traffic laws anywhere. In any place anybody goes, here or elsewhere, where somebody enforces them, people feel like they're put upon.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
That's fair.
I mean, name me any other place that you've ever been. I've been a place. I haven't gone that many places, but you go to Las Vegas, you go to New York, go to Ohio for sure. Indiana, pretty close. People that willy-nilly drive 75 and a 55, you don't get very far. We're here. What are you talking about? You're pulling me over. Yeah, right?
I'm only 25 over.
Yeah, I'm over 25
what
over.
What do you mean?
And other people are going just as fast. I mean, people here are outraged. They don't even think there is a trend. I mean, the amount of people that go through stop signs up in my neighborhood. What about bikers?
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break. I mean, you're something must be the matter with me. What are you picking on me for?
It's
anyway, but other states, you try and drive by a construction zone at 60 in Ohio, and I give you about an 80% chance of being pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
And they're serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at you like, why aren't you? Why? What do you give me this look for? Weren't you going 60? What does it say? 45? I mean, crazy world, Brendan. All right, we got to talk a little bit about what is the 401k world and what's the talk about the market at the water cooler at the law firms? Is it everything's okay again? Be 90% invested? Anybody seeing that they're high and turning around and moving money to money markets or anything like that? Or we just all happy that last quarter's over with, we forgot about it already, and we're all in?
I think it's kind of a wait and see.
what are we waiting to see about?
Whether anything is really going to change. There's no panic yet. There's no real need to change investment plans.
How many people got shaken last quarter last year, would you say?
That's temporary.
So maybe a few guys did a little bit, and now they're back in?
Mm-hmm.
The new clients that I'm getting, boy, I'd say that everybody's 90-95% in.
Mm-hmm.
They're really bought into this. And if I hadn't seen it go the other way twice in my investment lifetime and like not come back for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
I'd say knock yourself out. But boy, and I mean, it's uh,
Now, it's this Google. On one hand, you can say, it's, I got it down 96.83. You can say, hey, you know what? Stock's up this quarter. It's up 300 points. I gave back a third of it. So what? But if you bought it at, you know, it's trading 11.90. If you bought it at 12.90 yesterday, mm-hmm. that's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
And especially if you bought it on margin. No, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, I think you definitely have to take a look when these things are happening and say, you know, what is the deal here? And, you know.
Well, I think there's less of a fear right now because the numbers that are reported are, to the general public, look better than, as you point out, they really are.
Oh, and that's my opinion, but, I mean, but how much higher can you think, you know, we can go?
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. I mean,
you got a Republican in the White House. You got a Republican Senate. The sky's the limit because of all the things, the good things that have happened in the last 2 years.
Why, Brendan, of every single person, if you walk down the street and say, when does the stock market do better? I'm going to say 95% of them say Republican.
Yep.
And it's absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree that most people think that the stock market and things go better under a Republican administration. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, there's always a lagging effect that, and I'm not trying to claim that this is because of the Obama administration is what we're seeing right now. But I mean, there's always a lagging effect that may happen for a quarter, a couple of quarters into a new administration. So it's not always true that the one who gets the credit for it is the one whose policies are the ones responsible for it.
Here's a teaser for you after break. There's only been four year administrations that the market was down when people at the end of it than when they started. Can you name them, and how many were Republican? S&P futures up a quarter. NASDAQ futures down 14. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm tonight's Mr. Brennan Cornan. She's Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures flat. That's NASDAQ futures down 15. Again, that's virtually all because of Google, which I've got down 98 now. It's pushing 98.50, pushing toward that 100, 7.6%. That is a QQQ's down 131. And Apple down 111. They're coming out tonight. That would be sure everybody would like to see their numbers reassure people and then bounce up. We'll forget all about this Google thing by tomorrow, but Apple has the potential maybe of giving us the 1-2 punch. I have no idea where those earnings are going to land, Brendan. I'll look in there to see if I can find something today, but, I don't know. As of now, I don't have anything. So we will see. Dow futures up 65 points. Again, a lot of that is McDonald's up $4. They came out with their earnings. So they are facing the Dow. The DAX down 12 points, 0.1%. FTSE down 8. 0.1%, kick around down 13.2, so not much went on there. Down but very slow. Nikkei down 48.2%, again small. Shanghai up 15.5%. Hang Seng down 193.6%. Big news this morning really is oil, up $1.464.54, back up near this high. Brent 73.15. It's up 111. RBOB gas 210. We even got a little bounce out of gold here this morning, up $5, $12.86. Silver, $15, back just barely, 15.005, over 15. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather today has got a high of 48, low of 38. Expect scattered showers throughout the day. Phoenix is cloudy with a high of 84, low of 61. In baseball, the Cubs were off and the White Sox beat the Orioles 5-3. They are still clearing up that accident on I-94 going west before Steel Bridge. Expect up to 20-minute delays now. Nothing else. Back to you.
I was mentioning, hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
My lead-in, my teaser, as they say on the radio, was namely the four presidents who had the market go down during one of their terms in office. It's only been four. And then I dig into this thing on USA Today, and of course this doesn't break it down into the four-year terms. It breaks it down to the entire time somebody was in office, which I've never seen before, actually, so you learn something every morning.
Right.
Name me the president who had the highest return in the market while he was president. Name me the guy and whether he's Democratic or Republican. I don't think either one of you dudes get this.
Name the president with the highest return while he was in office.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep. And whether he was Democrat or Republican. I'm going to say he was one of the worst presidents we've ever had. God bless. If you had to put do-nothing presidents at the top of the list, from what I read about history, this dude is one of them. Brendan?
You're not talking about Truman, are you?
No. Well, he's up there with the good ones. Brendan? You got 1 minute.
I don't know. Carter?
Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge. Silent Cal.
Silent Cal. Do-nothing Cal. Mm-hmm. The market was up 230%, and he got out of Dodge March 4th, 1929, just in time. Pretty much. Who's number two? Somebody we all know and love. I'm not so sure we love him, but we... I'll give you a Democrat. Who'd you say, Jim? Clinton. Ding, ding, ding. 228% from 1993 to 2001. Hmm. That's scary or what? Then now Roosevelt, he was up 200%, but that was 12 years or 11 years or whatever how long he was there.
It was over 12.
Over 12. And then fourth, Barack Obama. So three of the top four are Democrats. Yet we were just talking before the break that if you went down the street and asked people where the stock market does better, and they will all say the Republicans, and yet nothing could be further from the truth. It isn't true. I'm going to take a guess here. Name me the four presidents who had a period, one of their terms, where the market was down, John, whether they're Democrat or Republican.
The market was down.
A couple are obvious.
Well, again, Roosevelt just probably covers everything in every...
Roosevelt, his second term, I think the market was down.
Yeah. And I also say during the first term of Obama, there was some downward turn before.
No. Well, who's between Coolidge and Roosevelt?
Hoover?
Yeah. It was down. His term was down huge.
Mm-hmm.
Down 82.
Yeah, like the All in the Family song, right?
Yeah, down 82% in 4 years. All right, and then who would be the second clunk? You guys should know this one. I got him here shaking hands with Elvis. Got Elvis look weirdness. Tricky Dick.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see? It was down, he served, how many years? It was down 28%. And then we've got one more. You guys are getting foggy on me here.
Yeah, we are.
George W. Bush, 2001 to 2005 was down, right?
I would have thought it'd be more.
But
I would have thought it'd be more in a second term that was down.
Well, then one of the terms he was down over the two terms. So, but I think he was up on one of them. Must have been the first term he was down, or up in the second term he was down. But one of his terms. So three of the four people. The other one was Roosevelt. I mean, so three of the four Republicans. Obviously Herbert Hoover got a rotten. He drew a rotten straw right between Coolidge and all the mess that was in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just the idea that people would quote something that the Republicans are better. And I'm going to say they. Matter of fact, this is before Obama, and Obama was way up. And now Clinton or what's his name? Trump is way up, so I mean I don't think that's affected the. As a matter of fact, if you went through all the years when I checked first about 15 years ago, the Democrats were up, but so slightly that you would never even make the statement of who was better. And yet you hear the statement every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly Roosevelt did better than. But if you take Hoover and Coolidge together, the market was actually up over that period of time, right? So it was up a bunch under Truman was up a bunch. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people was up a bunch. So anyway, but it's more timing, I think, than anything else. But anyway, John, we're trying to figure out, based on this Google earnings last night, have we reached the short-term top here? Have we not? Is it going to one-off? Apple going to come flying to the rescue tonight? I mean, these FANG stocks have moved up so fast in the last 12 weeks. I'm a little wary, but I don't think I'm going to go short Apple today. Why would I? I mean,
no, I don't. I think making any decisions like that makes no sense. I mean, just try to protect your positions the best you can, Tom, and that's about it. But the guess is it's the top. I'm going to be on the wrong end of that, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm a little happy with myself this morning. Once in a while you get... I was looking at GE yesterday for an earnings play, and the 9.5s and the 9 puts calendar put spreads were real cheap, John. Matter of fact, I was bidding for the 9.5, like 4 cents, and I never went to 5. I could have paid 5. And I'm thinking, everybody thinks this GE is going to go... All you hear about is it's going to get worse and worse, right? Yet last earnings, wasn't the thing like 7.5 and popped to 9? Because they came out with news that was slightly better than Armageddon, which is all everybody was expecting Armageddon. The thing popped up, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, hey, self, same thing might happen you know, tonight. Whatever, no matter how bad it is, you know, these guys might actually surprise everybody to the upside, and they pretty much did. And we're trading over 10 now, right? And so, I mean, you know, you never really know on these earnings because you really don't know the what people, quote, expected. I mean, there's a story, not that I would repeat this ever in front of a court of law, Brennan. there was a story that a guy on the trading floor traded one. I think it was a telephone crowd, but I would plead the fifth. One of the crowds, cell phone or IBM, one of the big companies. You know, his dad allegedly went to the same prep school as, you know, whatever the vice chair or the CFO of one of those companies. I don't know, forget which one. And so the dad would get, and the dad was a specialist in one of them. And he would get the call from his buddy like an hour before the earnings, and he'd get the earnings. Who, you know, and the old man, of course, relayed them to the kid who was trading options. And I'm going to say for a period of something like 8 or 10 earnings periods, the kid had the number. And it allegedly, again, this is all secondhand, allegedly he lost money 7 to 10 times. Because, I mean, you don't really know. I mean, what people's reaction is going to be. I mean, if it's a huge clunker, yeah. But then, even so, after the earnings, or I mean, after the phone call, it could be totally different. And in those days, I think, John, way early when I started, I mean, it's getting foggy, they would actually stop trading like in the middle of the day on some of the stocks. They'd stop at 10 o'clock and say, "We're coming out with the earnings. We're going to have the call," you know, and then we would reopen at 10:30 or 10:45 or whatever. And to me, that made way much more sense than doing it after the close when you've got less players and you have this huge move one way or the other that I think is exaggerated because nobody's around. I would really like to see today Apple stop trading at 10 o'clock while everybody's here or 10:30, come out with earnings, have the conference call, and reopen at 11. And I think the world would be way better served with that. But then again, those people that are able to make the markets in these exaggerated moves, somebody is buying Google right now down 100 points, 101.50 actually to be exact, from some poor guy who has to sell it here before the opening, right, to make a margin call or whatever. I'm gonna say that if that happened midday yesterday, maybe the stock could be down 90 instead of 100. I mean, there's no way I can quantify it. But I think it's a better world when you do that. I mean, right now the market is designed to be exclusive. I want it to be inclusive. I want to have everybody sitting there looking at these earnings, everybody making a judgment and having the thing reopening it. Now tell me I'm nuts, either one of you guys.
No, I don't think you're nuts.
Nope, I don't think you're nuts.
At least not about this subject. Just nuts in general, but not about this subject. But I mean, right. Why can't we do it in the middle of the day? When everybody's here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got specialists, you've got market makers, you've got stuff. When everybody's here, that's when we should digest this news. Well, what do you suppose, John, the fervor was to make it when nobody's here? Why should it be at 3:30?
Not sure.
Yeah, Brandon, can you think of any reason? It must benefit somebody.
Nope, can't.
Well, I think it's got to benefit somebody. I mean, just somebody's probably not us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plus, At PTI, Jan, how are we going to trade it? We're not going to put market orders in after the close and a God knows what exchange. I mean, we might actually have people wanting to trade the darn thing at 10 in the morning.
Right.
I mean, when's the last time you got a call from somebody at 4 o'clock that it wasn't absolutely hurt and it says, you got to sell my IBM down, you know, out down 15 bucks? I mean, you know, and we don't want that phone call at 4 in the afternoon.
No,
if it's 11 o'clock, you know, we just make a trade like we normally do.
Right, exactly.
So all of a sudden now we've got this whole idea. Not one earnings comes out during the market day, Brennan. I mean, how scary is that?
Mm-hmm.
When we could just as easily say, 10 o'clock's your time. Knock yourself out. Or you could stagger them, you know, whatever. There's every half hour have one of them or something. Just saying. I mean, I think it would work better for people.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if some people obviously don't want it working better for most of the people. So, John, well, if they ask, we've got UPS basically flat on its ass. We've got Intel, the power is all this huge growth, flat on its ass. We've got Google now not looking so hot. We've got 3M going absolutely the wrong direction, although it's up 23 cents today. Talk about a dead cat bounce. And then we've got Facebook you know, seemingly resurrected from all regulatory problems, going up every day. I mean, one of the guys here in the office yesterday said, any company that has people and has processes where you need people is going to hell, and any company that has, you know, hope and whatever, and maybe a system or a gimmick, Facebook, I guess, is a gimmick, is going straight up. I mean, do you see an issue with that, or is that just the new world?
Well, I mean, I think it's part of the new order, if you will. But, I think there's, some companies in the other basket that are having good earnings, like what this morning, was it McDonald's.
Yep.
McDonald's has had a good quarter, too.
I'm gonna say, and I'm not going to say I know people that work there. I'm going to say that if you ask people from McDonald's and look at their menu with all the stuff on it, and the dollar menu is now a dollar on it, what they feel their average price increases in the last year, they will probably tell you at least 15%. And I'm going to say that their revenue is up over last year, what, 7 or 8, if that?
Something like that, if I remember right.
Yeah. Okay, so why does this cause me to smell a rat? I mean, when do you have to take the dollar menu tag off when everything on the dollar menu is $1.59 or $1.99? I guess there's some way they could point to a standard Big Mac or something that maybe hasn't gone up that much from last year. But given that menu, how does anybody, if you're not a price genius, how could you possibly figure out what the average price of stuff is in McDonald's versus last year?
Hey. Well, maybe they need to start the new $1.99 menu.
Well, that's another thought. I'm kind of winging on this one for a while because of the GDP numbers. But now, are we going to take the McDonald's numbers at face value and say they're up 0.9% in price from last year? Why would we? And yet that's what we're being asked to do.
Right. On any of them, right.
I mean, there's no more dollar. Wasn't it dollar coffee for a while? For how many years? There's no dollar coffee anymore, right? It's all two something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure somebody in the Bureau of Labor Statistics is going to say, well, the dollar was a special. We never counted it down, and we're not counting it up. Maybe. You know, I just put it this way. As much as I rail on these guys, I don't want that job. Because everybody's trying to basically bleep with them, and I think they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, Brendan, for instance, I've asked this question. If you raise the tolls only on the people who don't have the transponder, is that a raise in tolls or is that an idiot tax?
It's an idiot tax if you're going to use the highways very frequently.
So,
because the other way to look at it, I mean, if you don't use the tollways very often, and you have a transponder, and you even put $40 on it, and you use it once a year, you're giving a loan to the government.
Oh, sure.
So in that case, is it worth it to pay double the tolls the one time a year that you use the tollway, or to have the government use $40 on your account for a year?
Well, the good news is there's no interest anymore. Back in our day, that was a question. We actually could make $4 on it. Now, mm-hmm. you can't make anything on it anyway, so...
Yeah, so I don't know if it's really an idiot tax. It's more of a how much do I use a tax.
But I'm saying, does that increase go in the... under if you're a Bureau of Labor Statistics guy, are you going to say the tolls just went up or not?
I would say overall, depending on... And since I think most people use a transponder, I would say no, they didn't.
Okay. So if you're driving to New York from South Dakota, and you're foolish enough to drive through Chicago... And what happens to you? You're just lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, your money's lost in the system of government.
Right. It's a donation.
It's a donation.
You're making a donation.
God. How scary is that? These are questions that come along. The transponder, I assume you have a transponder.
Yep.
Do you realize that now you're being picked up on streets other than the toll road?
Yep.
Are you happy with that?
No.
John, just so you know, this is the toll place is not, as of 1960, was supposed to be no tolls or something, or 65, and now,
well,
of course...
The Skyway, as an example, was opened up in 1959, and at that time, They said that the bonds for that would be paid off in 15 years under the normal traffic flow. And that was measured by the first day. But the first day's use of the tollway was like 100 times more than the average use. It was, you know, the novelty to go up and down the expressway. And it wasn't paid off in time, and the tolls are still there.
Well, not only that, they constructed a freeway 3 miles to the east within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
To the west.
Yeah.
What could go wrong with that? What could possibly go wrong with that? But John, what's happening is when they went to the transponders, okay, which, you know, okay, you get to fire people, that's fine. And so they decide, okay, well, the idea was, the 60 days or 90 days they were going to get rid of all records, right? Wasn't that the original story?
Something like that, yes.
But now, because in January you pay in advance, so there's no arguing. Now, you can't say I didn't go through the thing. So you would need last year's data for really nothing. You've already got the money. What percentage of divorce cases would you say that those records are used in now, Brendan?
I think at least a private investigator for anybody who thinks that there's a cheating spouse would try to get those records.
So Jan,
what do you mean you're in Indianapolis on business? This shows you're in Kenosha.
That's right. But why are you going through the same toll plaza in Huntley every Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock? I mean, right? You know, this is male or female. It's not just guys. But, I mean, they're now in, these things are constant public record in, but get a load of this, Jan. In addition to that, under the guise that they're trying to find out information from the toll road saying that if Jan Neal is caught in traffic, where does he get off and what other road does he use? They've built some towers. Now, this is with tollway money on streets surrounding the toll road. So you could be driving down, say, Elston Avenue or whatever, Wolf Road or someplace, and all of a sudden you're picked up on Elston Avenue and Wolf Road. You're not even on the toll road. Yeah, now you're part of this database.
But there's a legitimate reason for that. It's traffic control.
Name it.
Traffic control and safety. When you get off the tollway, they want to see what routes you're taking so that they know how to improve the structure on those roads. You're not believing that, are you?
I Jan, is there any doubt where Brendan used to work? and that he's an attorney. You know, my buddy Dave Azzarello, his dad was a used car salesman. And one day, he sells his car to a guy. And the guy goes out, does all the paperwork, gives him the money. He goes out and goes to turn the thing on, and it doesn't start. And of course, most people would say, what the hell kind of lemon did you sell me? Dave's dad, you know, you're the luckiest man on earth. I was worried about that battery. And then my mechanic talked me out of it, said it was okay, but I was worried about, now you're going to give me the opportunity to give you a new battery. Jan, is there a certain talent in that or what?
Yeah, that's putting the positive twist on it, if you will.
You know, that stock that you just bought that we would never do this, just talked you into it 60, it's trading 50. Now you've given me the opportunity to show you what an option repair strategy is, so it comes back to 60. It goes back to 60, you're going to be actually up money. I could never do that. I should be better at that. John, are you good enough to do that? I'm not.
Not in the least.
Well, all right, I got to ask you every week, are we ever going to get a rally out of this gold? I'm getting PO'd about my gold position.
Well, I've been able to do some in the past, some good calls and even, make some money on, some of the puts. And I just don't know, anymore, Tom. I'm not ready to give up the ghost, though. I'll put it through that way.
Well, we've done the same. We've been a little slower to sell calls than you, so we've bleeped that up. You've done a much better job on that, by the way. We've made some money on the puts. I just want this GDX at 25, where I think it ought to be, the way the world is. But guess what? The world is not axing me. I hate it when that happens.
Well, that's why you're a little tentative, too, is that'd be a little closer to fair value, and one day you don't want to wake up and it's sitting there and then be stuck in a call, right?
Well, that's right. After all this time, the last thing I want to do is sell the 22 calls and everything be 25. Then I'm really suicidal. I mean, and then I'm like, I waited all this time and then I gave it up. That's kind of crazy. Anyway, Jack, thank you very much. Talk to you on Friday, and we'll have to talk a little bit about the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I know you
like, got it.
You like your horses. Brandon, thank you very much. Jay-Z, thank you. SP Futures now down 2, which is the lowest we've seen it. NASDAQ down 25, again, as low as we've seen that. Where we got Google down 105. It did break the 100 number. Trading 1182, and it's down over 8%. Ouch. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jack. Tell you all about Apple.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.